Hi, everybody. We're back. I'm Alan, and you are the listeners, and you're listening, I hope. Okay. One day, before a ban on certain sugary beverages in certain settings in New York City was set to take effect, a state judge ruled yesterday that the policy championed by Mayor Michael Bloomberg should not be imposed. In his ruling, Justice Milton A. Tingling Jr. called the rules arbitrary and capricious, echoing consumers and beverage industry claims that the rules, which would include restricting the size of sugary drinks to 16 ounces or less at restaurants, street carts, and entertainment venues, are confusing and unenforceable. Bloomberg vowed to appeal the ruling, saying yesterday that the rules were a matter of life and death when it came to protecting city residents from the health issues associated with obesity. Today, we want to know what you think of both the drink rules and the decision to prevent them from being put into effect. Should our elected officials be allowed to tell us how much we can drink or eat or where we can do it? Does this draw parallels to restrictions on smoking in public places and prevention of secondhand smoke? 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Wow. All five phones are ringing. So let's go to Eileen in Saugerties. Okay, Eileen, you're on.
Hi, Alan. I think it's very gutsy of the mayor. I think that the judge is a spoil sport, and regardless of how enforceable it is, why not make the effort at least? I agree with you. Well, I don't know if you were saying so or not, but I
am saying so.
Oh, okay. I think there is at least a partial parallel to cigarette smoking, and why not make the effort? So good for the mayor.
And not only that, even if it doesn't go through, and I suspect that he's going to get overruled, but Judge Tingling, is that Bloomberg's made his point.
Yes,
he's raised consciousness.
It's gutsy, don't you think? It's gutsy.
I do. I think on this kind of stuff, he's been magnificent. Mm. It may be the kind of magnificence that a very wealthy man can do, saying this is the right thing. I'm going to do it, and that's all. I don't have to run for office again. I don't have to. I don't have anybody telling me that this is a bad move politically because I'm not going anywhere else politically. I just care about people. I'm going to try to do it, I'm all for it. As we have said before, Eileen, the seatbelt thing didn't go over very well in the beginning either. Remember all of that?
I do.
It's across my chest. So it's across this and that, and it makes me feel bad, and now it's saving lives. Right.
And it's a tiny bit. The thing about a rich man being able to do this and also not running anymore, it reminds me of the founding fathers' idea of having people do public service who don't have to feel beholden to anyone else.
Well, that's right, and it's one of the things that the polling is all picking up. Mm. As you know, politicians are now mistrusted beyond anything we've ever seen, that's because people think that they always have a personal agenda. That's why I love Deval Patrick, the governor. He said, I'm going to run twice. We know that his friend Barack Obama has offered him things. He said to us the other day, I've had that conversation with him. So he just does what's right. And, you know, if it means taxing people a little bit more so every kid can have a pre-K education, good, he says.
It's worth it. Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, Eileen, I love you and thanks so much for calling. Appreciate
it very
much.
My pleasure, dear. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay. And now we've got a Colin in Springfield. Hiya, Colin.
Good afternoon, Alan. How are you?
Well, I'm good. How are you on this thing?
Very well, thank you. Listen, as a person in the health industry.
Sure.
I am a firm believer that this is something that needs to take place. Maybe it's a good thing that the first time it didn't quite work out because now we have a way to go back and revisit it and make it even more accurate and enforceable.
Mm-hmm.
But I also wanted to talk about quickly the psyche of the people as opposed to maybe restricting folks. One of my problems as a water drinker, when you go to these fountain drink areas, they don't offer water. You have to buy bottled water, which is very expensive. And if you're in a restaurant and you try to get water, a lot of places will charge you as if you had purchased a soda.
Really?
Sometimes. Or if you ask for the soda water.
Well, that's why they always come up and say, would you like tap water? Or in New York City now, the great thing about New York is that, I made this point the other day, is that you know that people bottle Manhattan water. And they sell it across the country. And yet the garçon comes up to you and says, Would you prefer bottled water or tap water, as if tap water was some kind of dreck, which is being sold all over the country? It's amazing, just amazing.
But also, anyone in the vending industry knows that, you know, these soft drink vending machines, they get the carbonated water for free. They don't pay for that. They pay for the syrup. So for
Don't they pay for the gas? Don't they pay for the gas too?
I'm not 100% sure about that.
Okay.
But anyway, that's. I just think they need to increase the availability of water, so we don't. One, we don't have to use plastic, and two, it's available as an option.
And I thought you were going to say, when you were identified yourself as a public health person, that of course there are implications. We know this stuff causes obesity. Obesity costs us money. The diabetes epidemic is humongous, why not try to deal with that?
There's no question about it, Alan. And it's definitely going to become a law eventually. It just needs to be done correctly, just like smoking bans.
Okay. Thank you, Colin. Appreciate it very
much.
Yep. Let's go to Chris in Albany. Chris, you're on. Go.
Hey, Alan.
Hey.
I couldn't agree more that something has to be done, but with that said, I think that the majority of people know, and if they don't, they should, that high fructose corn syrup is more or less dangerous. It's inflammatory. It leads to type 2 diabetes, blah, blah, blah. So don't drink it. At the same time, if you really think that the government, in this case, Bloomberg, doing yet something else that I think is way beyond his power. And I can't possibly imagine a politician waking up in the morning and thinking, I need to ban a certain size of soda, and that's somehow going to sit well with the American public, despite what the poll says, because I know what the poll says, which concerns me as well about the state of New York and the mindset of the people in it. I think this is like an exceptionally dangerous road. And all the people that have called so far have talked about how something has to be done, and soda's dangerous. Absolutely. But the idea of having the government ban the size of a cup, you and the last callers are out of your minds. You're dangerous.
Hey. Chris, we don't need that.
Yes, Alan.
We don't need that. Civility.
Whoa.
Civility is a very important point. We don't have to start calling names. Go ahead.
Okay. If you start going down this road, it opens up everything. So I'm not sure what everything means, but in this case, I'm not seeing the boundaries.
Well, what about smoking? What about smoking, Chris? What about seatbelts?
You can easily make the argument for smoking, because secondhand smoke is theoretically dangerous to other people. I mean, you can make that argument, I understand. Now, I would say that if these people, you know, refuse to have government health care in the future, Medicare or whatever it is, I wouldn't be opposed to them smoking. If it wasn't going to come down to them being on the public dole and having their health care paid for by my taxes, your taxes, everyone is falling, their taxes, you know, it's a personal choice type thing. But in this case, this is something where it directly affects the person. And it's something that is so average and normal in the day where you pick what you're going to drink. If you're willing to hand this power over to the government, you might as well just give it all up, because you don't have any freedom anymore. You've literally given it up to Bloomberg.
Okay, whoa. Said, it's come around for the third time now. First of all, I want to tell you, I appreciate your telephone call. I don't agree with a word you're saying, but I really appreciate the fact that you called and you made these points, and you made them well. So thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, bye. Let's go to Tommy in Neversink. Welcome back, Tommy. You're on.
Hello. You know, I understand how people feel, you know, on the face of it. They don't want to have, you know, what they consume limited. But who takes responsibility when they become ill?
Exactly.
You know, so I think, and I agree with the smoking thing, the same law seems like that sets up a legal precedent so that this ought to be legal, too, by the same reasoning. And, you know, and it's like these people that were against Obamacare, you know, and they don't have insurance. Well, who pays when you go to the emergency room?
You bet.
You know, you can't say, I'm never going to use these services. If you get ill and you're having a heart attack, we have to take care of you.
No question about it. Tommy, you're always smart. I appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take a very brief time for some underwriting announcements, which is a couple of seconds. We'll be right back. So, Brett and Mary and Edward, you stay right there.
Support for WAMC comes from Susan Odell Taylor School, Troy, New York. Preschool through sixth grade, educating children in the Capital Region since 1998. School day tours available, nurturing minds, shaping the future, taylorschool.org. Identity Eyewear, Albany, New York. Women owned and operated with a combined 70 years experience. Eye exams by appointment, 518-459-2638. Albany Pro Musica, presenting the Capital District Youth Chorale, If Music Be the Food of Love, Choral Love Songs Past and Present, this Saturday at St. Paul's Episcopal Church, and this Sunday at Proctor's Theater, albanypromusica.org. College Street Motors, Amherst, Massachusetts, specializing in foreign and domestic car and truck repair services and 24-hour towing and recovery service for over 30 years. CollegeStreetMotors.com. And the Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York, protecting New York's historic buildings, districts, and landscapes since 1974. PreserveNYS.org.
And we are joined by the wonderful Patrick Donges.
Thank you,
who is
Alan.
Our
Hi.
Producer and of the show, and also assistant news director, and a wonderful guy all around. Now, people can get in on this even if they're not on the phone.
Even
right?
if you do not have a phone in front of you, you can post your comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website, which you can find at wamc.org/voxpop. You can comment below today's wall post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/wamcradio. And if you check there, you'll know which one it is because it's got a photo of a girl with a double Big Gulp from 7-Eleven, chugging it down
Whoa.
With both hands.
Good.
And you can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop. That's at WAMC Vox Pop.
And you're checking all of these, and you'll just read us a couple,
yes,
right?
Well, Tom Job and I have been checking these, and Valerie on Facebook says, we can't control what people eat and drink except for possibly putting greater restrictions on food stamp purchases. If people really want to drink 32 ounces of soda, they'll buy 2 16-ounce cups or buy a bottle in the grocery store. Scott on Facebook says, drinking a soda isn't like smoking in public, pardon me. No one else has to breathe your soda-like cigarette smoke. Sometimes it's easier to buy a big drink instead of multiple small drinks. Fountain sodas have ice, too. A 32-ounce fountain soda is half ice, so it's really only 16 ounces of soda, Scott says. Looks worse than it is. Enough with the nanny crusaders. Sharon on Facebook says, maybe instead of restricting what foods and drinks people can buy, tax people on how much overweight they are. This would be a surefire way to combat obesity. That would be the real quote-unquote fat tax. And Betsy on Facebook has this missive here. I was watching a friend's 13-year-old daughter one day. I took her to the movies where she bought an orange soda the size of the one the girl in, I believe, in the Facebook photo has. So it's the big 32-ounce beverage, along with some candy. She came home and threw up all over the living room. This is really too much soda, says Betsy.
And too much information.
I guess.
Thank you very much, Patrick.
Thank you, Alan.
Always wonderful to see you here. Okay, so let's go to Brent in, is it Waiteville? Are you in Wattville or Waiteville?
Brent? Oh, Waterville, actually.
Oh, water. They left out the R.
South of Utica.
Yeah, I left. Yeah, no, they left out the R. See, it says Wateville, and that's one that I'm not familiar with. And I said Waiteville, where everybody waits, or Wattville, where everybody has the electricity on. So I didn't quite know.
Yep, Waterville, south of Utica. Well, my point is that I don't think that the government has any business telling people how much soda they can drink. Like the other callers have made the point that secondhand smoke affects other people. I don't think that this arbitrary law of restricting the size of a soda is really going to make any difference on the health care costs passed on to other people.
Well, except we have a diabetes. We had the diabetes expert Greg Garrity here yesterday for Medical Monday. We have this epidemic in this country, and he said there's an absolute correlation with weight. And we know we're now a country of obesity. And so one could make the argument, I think, that this is costing us a lot of money.
I don't dispute that. And I also don't dispute that soda causes obesity. However, if someone does want to drink the soda, like a previous caller, the point they made is that you could just buy 2 16-ounce sodas. Now, what I do think they could do is maybe put some kind of tax on these larger size sodas and put those towards wellness programs or after school programs for the kids so that you attack this thing at the heart of the problem.
You mean like the cigarette guys do? You know, the way we tax them, and supposedly that money goes to prevention programs, although I read recently that New York State has cut back that in order to balance its budget and not tax people more and get people elected, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I don't think people are going to necessarily change their habits. So you might as well try to offset that with some kind of tax increase on the people who want to indulge in those habits while at the same time using that revenue to invest in programs that will help the people who, you know, are already overweight.
Yeah. But we got fewer smokers. That flies in the face of your argument, Brett. In other words, we've really attacked this thing. We've said this is bad for you. We don't want you to do it. And by the way, I don't know that that when you say that it doesn't affect other people, you know, Papa dies of cancer or Mama obese related things. That's somebody else who is being affected by the indiscriminate use of these sugary products.
I agree, but how much of an impact does soda make when somebody could also go to McDonald's and order French fries or any other kind of unhealthy fried food?
Yeah, I agree with you.
If you start with soda, you're going to have to go across the board on all these unhealthy things.
We should definitely, count French fries out of bounds. Hey, Brett, thanks for calling. Appreciate it very much.
Yep, you bet.
Okay, let's go to Mary in Saratoga. Mary, you're on.
Hi. I think that no one has mentioned where this problem started, and it started with Earl Butz, who was the Secretary of Agriculture in the Nixon administration, when all of a sudden we had these enormous taxpayer-funded subsidies for corn and rice and sugar and wheat and all the foods which become carbohydrates and which are causing the sugar diabetes epidemic, the obesity epidemic, and all kinds of heart problems and other things like that due to inflammation, which comes from these products that are so highly subsidized. And, you know, people have not complained about how much of their taxes are going to wealthy agribusiness companies. 90% of the farm bill goes to these huge agribusiness concerns. And, you know,
that's true. By the way, we had Chris Gibson here in the studio doing the Congressional Corner today and made that very point that here in New York State, we have local farmers in the middle of the country. We have these agribusiness guys and they're getting all the money.
And they're getting all the money for products which are bad for people, and then try to get subsidies for small family farms growing fruits and vegetables, which actually are good for people, and you can't, and you can't do it. The whole system of subsidies is causing all kinds of trouble. The oil and gas and coal people, $1 trillion a year, but that's globally. But that's their subsidy.
Okay. Well, you made your point, Mary, okay. And we thank you for doing it. Thanks for calling. You make great sense. Appreciate it. All right, let's go to Edward in North Adams. Hi, Edward. How are things in North Adams?
Well, they're drippy.
Oh, yeah. It's raining up there? Up in the north?
Just a little.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I would like to emphasize the notion of generalizing the issue a little bit.
Okay.
I think Bloomberg took a good stance there, but why not have a sugar tax like we have tobacco and alcohol taxes?
I think it's a great idea. I think sugar is a great killer. Of course, somebody's going to call up and say,
my daughter insists on my reading a book, which I haven't yet, that tells me a million different bad things that sugar does.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm guilty.
Yeah.
But I'm doing better. I'm doing better.
Okay.
But why don't I hear people talking about that more? It's sort of like, why don't I hear more of your prior program with Chris Hedges, disheartening, but yet we don't talk about alternative radio programs. Why is that?
Well, we got them on. I mean, I think we get a little credit for that.
Like in Vox Pop and other discussion aspects of things, we don't go to it. He's very critical of all kinds of things, but he makes big points. And,
he does indeed.
And we need to do that. And I would bet you that a sugar tax would be an excellent thing.
Okay,
that would
okay.
answer most of the things about the government thing of saying government's interfering with this. No, we're not. We're taxing sugar because it harms, and we can show it. And then you don't have to deal with the specific things about, you know, just the big bottles.
Uh-huh. Well, I think Bloomberg, in his favor, decided he had to start somewhere.
I agree.
And I think what he's done here is to make his point so that even if some, you know, judge, wants to drink a soda or whatever he wants, is going to interfere with this. You know, the what's come out of this is a terrific understanding that sugar kills you. So, and he's done that. Edward, I thank you for your call. I thank you for your idea about taxing.
You know me, by the way.
I do.
Bye-bye.
I know you.
You do.
From where?
Yeah, 25 years ago or so, I came to your fundraiser.
Yeah.
And I was a blind massage therapist.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you remember me
or
not.
I do.
But I was there, and I got my hands on you and Galletly and a few others.
Okay.
On your necks and shoulders.
You're all right, Edward. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it very much.
Bye-bye.
1-800-348-2551. George in East Hampton. George, you're on.
Hello. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
A couple of quick things. One, people keep talking about diabetes as a diabetic. I'd like to say that diabetes is not caused by consuming sugar. It's a genetic problem. It can be exacerbated by using sugar and by obesity, but it's not caused by
that. It certainly can be genetic. There's no question. We know familial. As I said yesterday, we had the diabetes expert on,
Yes. The
best in Albany, Greg Garrity. But he certainly thinks that our predisposition to getting fatter has led to the diabetes, scourge.
Certainly, if you are genetic, if you have the genetic problem already, being obese will trigger it. It will become symptomatic.
And reverse that, George. People who want to handle this stuff or pre-diabetic or close to it, they find that when they go on a diet, when they lose the weight, and when they refrain from the sugar and the rest of it, they do better in terms of their sugar numbers.
Yes, absolutely. However, once you are a diabetic, losing weight isn't going to make any difference at all. But the real point that I wanted to make,
I think there are some people, by the way, who are going to call up and say that's not true. Inevitably you go to a doctor or physician and they say we can do this by medication or you can try diet and exercise, and they know what they're talking about.
Well, yes, and you know what? I lost a tremendous amount of weight when I was diagnosed as a diabetic, and I'm still a diabetic.
Well, no, that's right. But you are, but it's the, do you wake up with 240 or do you wake up with 107? I mean, that seems to me to be what this is about.
Yes, your ACL will be lower and your blood sugars will be lower, but you're still going to be a diabetic.
Well, okay.
But the point that I really wanted to make here is, you know, people are complaining that about a nanny state, and they don't want to be controlled by the government in what they eat.
Sure.
And as you pointed out, people said the same thing about seat belts, and people say the same thing about motorcycle helmets. And you know what? If people are willing to sign a DNR saying that the society is not responsible for what happens to them, that's fine with me. You don't want to use your seat belt? Sign the DNR. Say that the insurance companies don't have to pay off.
Mm.
And you can go ahead and not wear your seatbelt.
And that
go
the hospital shouldn't treat you.
Absolutely.
Which we are paying for. George, you make a lot of sense. I appreciate your call very much. Thanks. Call again, okay?
Thanks. Bye. Bye.
Let's go to Tara in Bloomington, New York. Tara, you're on.
Okay, thank you. My opinion is that instead of attacking and trying to take away something like sodas, which someone wants soda, they're going to get a soda. There's no stopping that. Maybe try to promote the New York State agriculture and try to promote a healthier diet and try to do that educationally, starting young, so that way when you're 28, instead of grabbing a soda, you're going to consciously have a healthier diet and lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, New York State is a huge place.
Why not both?
You know, where we have some great produce and some great product, healthier meats, healthier items. Instead of taking away a soda, try to promote what New York State has to offer.
Tara,
I mean,
why not?
Money that's going to be kept in the state anyway.
Tara, why not both?
That's what I say. Yeah. Hey, but that's my opinion, right?
Are you from Canada?
I'm not.
There was one little syllable in there that sounded awfully Canadian to me.
I do have a strange accent, that is to say. But, Alan, it was great talking to you.
And to you, Tara. Thanks for calling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's go to Beth in Williamstown. Hiya, Beth.
Hi, Alan. How are you today?
Well, I'm all right, but I'm annoyed.
Annoyed by?
Nothing. I'm just annoyed.
Well, we need some more sunshine. That'll take care of that.
I think you're right, or a little few more vitamin D pills.
There you go.
Yeah, go ahead.
On point, a couple of things. I think I'm probably as liberal as they come. However, I feel strongly that something should not be regulated by the government. I don't want them in my bedroom. I don't want them impacting my right to choose whether or not to remain pregnant if I get pregnant, and I don't think that they should regulate my diet. I feel very strongly that we need to get healthier in this country, and I also believe that there is a way to do it. I think when we put warning labels on cigarette packs, people started getting the message, and maybe we should put warning labels on certain foods as well as on these big sodas.
That's a good idea, but they'll be the same people calling up now aren't going to like it. You put a skull and crossbones on a Pepsi container, believe me, the same people who have been calling up are going to say, cut it out. But let me ask you something, Beth, because you're so smart, and you are. You come from Williamstown, where everybody is smart. So I wanted to ask you this. When we took the soda machines out of the schools, was that appropriate or not?
Well, again, I think there are other ways of educating kids, and I think nutrition, starting at a very, very young age, should be a part of a public school education. And I think if we had wholesome food being more affordable for the average family, we might.
You know, that is so true. You know, I went into a place in Great Barrington. You know, I leave very early in the morning, 2:30, 3 o'clock, and I got to get some gas. And I went in there yesterday morning, and I saw the most amazing thing in this Cumberland Farms. Guess what it was? There was a whole row of fruit. Of fruit. When is the last time you went into one of those places and saw a lot of fruit? There was a lot. There. And I'm saying to myself, whoa, that is amazing, because usually there is not one thing in these places that's really that good for you.
I agree with you. And I think that a lot of people who have financial troubles go to McDonald's and other places where they can get a cheap meal. And I'm grateful that even McDonald's and those places are trying with a few alternatives, although I don't think that they've gone far enough. And personally, I stay out of those places. But I think having more wholesome food options everywhere you go, and it isn't just sugar, it's fat and all kinds of things, and we know we need to exercise more. And I think it's a cultural change that is promoted by talk shows like yours and by warning labels and making other things affordable and making more options available.
But I love what you said. I think we should have, everybody should have a little card, you know, those electronic cards, and then every morning when they work out for their hour, as I do, they should put their card into the reader, and it will tell you that you are allowed to take some money off your taxes or something like that if you have exercised for an hour every day. That was a great idea of yours, Beth.
Terrific.
Well, I thank you for calling, Beth. You're terrific. Thanks again.
Thanks for the show. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Kerry in Plainfield, Massachusetts. Kerry, you're on.
Oh, good morning, Eric. Good morning. Good afternoon, Alan.
Yeah, it's that now. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay, what I want to talk about today is, I think high schools, okay, they put so much emphasis on the team sports, the stick.
Yeah, that's
sports.
A very good point.
And I would rather see more emphasis put on the individual sports.
On life
running,
sports.
Swimming, a lifetime sport, or excuse me, lifestyle sport.
Tennis,
things like that, sure, where after graduation, I mean, if you're on a team, unless you turn a professional,
sure,
that's the end of you playing that game.
Yeah, look at those baseball players after
they
stop
playing.
Well, they're
lucky. They make a lot of money playing.
Yeah, but then that doesn't keep you alive.
Exactly. But, you know, you have people, let's say they're on a, they do running in high school or they're cross-country skiing or whatever. They'll probably, if they enjoy it, they're going to continue with it for their life.
Absolutely right. Although the hockey players I know, I have friends who are hockey players, you know, and that's one of those rare things where they get up at 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning to get out to that rink.
Oh, they're so dedicated.
Not always, but no, it stays with them. I don't know what that's about.
Yeah, well, that's, I'm thinking a sport that stays with them. Then if they have a family, they enjoy it with their family. And people that do that, they're going to be more conscious of what they consume.
Hey, Kerry, that's a great point, and I really am glad you made it. And I hope you'll call again, okay?
I will. Thank
Thanks.
You.
Okay. And let's go to Jerry in Schenectady. First we had Kerry, now we have Jerry.
Yes, next will be Mary.
Yeah.
Hi, Alan. One consequence of the size of bottles and serving sizes getting larger is that you can't buy small sizes of most drinks anymore. When I've had to buy larger size beverages than I want, I've usually ended up throwing some of it away or, at a ballpark last year, finishing it off just because it was there. You know, playing around with it, putting the cap on, and ended up
drinking it. Good comment.
Yeah, and then if a plastic bottle or a cup is empty, I'll sometimes bring it home to recycle it, because it doesn't appear that a lot of stores recycle it. It all goes into the wastebasket. But if it's not empty, I'll throw it away because I don't want to risk spilling the sticky stuff in my car.
Yeah.
And to address the people about the comments about the people about freedom, what about my freedom to buy smaller size drinks if I want one without having to pay for more than what I want to consume?
Yeah. Well, it's all money.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. It's about the money. It's not about what people want, because if they
oh, you mean Pepsi doesn't get around, or Coke get around and say, okay, today we're going to discuss how to make people healthier?
No, I don't think so.
No.
Nope.
That's
so they take away the smaller sizes.
I don't want to get sued, so I always ask it in the form of a question.
Okay.
Oh, you mean that? You get it? Okay, Jerry, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
All right, Al, thank you. Bye.
Okay, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Empire State English, Albany, New York, an English as a second language school for adults seeking all levels of ESL training. Open house Tuesdays in March and April from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. ESEnglish.org. Washington County Tourism, featuring Maple Sugaring this weekend, March 16th and 17th, and Vaptor Festival on March 23rd and 24th, WashingtonNYCounty.com. NBT Bank, offering trust and fiduciary services, investment management, and retirement planning for individuals and businesses. NBTBank.com. The Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, providing exhibits, public events, and educational programs for audiences of all ages for the Capital District and beyond. 518-580-8080. And Glens Falls Hospital, Big City Medicine, Hometown Care, serving 6 counties in the Southern Adirondacks and 28 locations. Twitter, Facebook, and glensfallshospital.org.
And thanks to Zach, we're back. And once again, our magnificent reporter, assistant news director, Patrick Donjes, is with us just to quickly go over what some of the social media people are saying.
Hi, Alan. Christopher on Facebook says, Bloomberg now says he would support Governor Cuomo's proposal to decrease arrests for marijuana possession during routine police stops. Where does he think people will be able to sate their munchies appetite? New Jersey. So a question there about getting these large drinks. Julie on Facebook says, I think the Bloomberg policy is myopic. First, the presumption is that the industry is trying to make lots of money by selling lots of quote-unquote bad sugary drinks. But if someone wants to drink lots of sugary soda, they can buy two of a smaller size, and the retailer makes more margin as a percent of sales. Second, in the rare case that Julie has ordered a large drink, it's been a diet soda with lots of ice on a very hot day. Why take that relatively harmless pleasure away from me, she asks. And Seth on Facebook says he'd like to propose a 6-donut limit at Krispy Kreme.
A 6-donut limit.
Six now, only. Half dozen.
There's an idea. But, you know, bagels have a lot of a lot of calories in them.
It's like 5 slices of bread, 6 slices of bread.
You're absolutely right. Well, Patrick, as always, we're grateful to you for being here.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, and let's go to Laurie in Scotia. Okay, Laurie, are you new to Scotia?
No, I've been here 57 years.
Oh, then
I'm not a Scotian.
Are you related to Zach the engineer?
I'm grandma.
Oh, okay, then you're welcome. Okay, but
all right, I only have one point,
okay.
Alan.
Yeah,
I don't
want
to, and I just looked for my paper to give you the exact quotes, but I'm pretty sure it was the Schenectady Gazette showing a new machine in the hospital. It was either a CAT scan or an MRI machine.
Yep.
Bigger one to accommodate people up to 450 pounds because the other one doesn't work.
Yeah.
Well, and if that doesn't affect people's, it's going to affect our pocketbooks.
No,
where are they
true.
Going to get the money to pay for that? I can't imagine what those machines cost.
No, they cost a lot of money. And Laurie, I have to say congratulations on your wonderful grandson. We love him here.
Oh, so do I.
Okay, Laurie.
That's my Makushla.
Without question. Thanks for calling, Laurie.
Okay, bye-bye.
Let's go to Alex in Poughkeepsie. Alex, you're on.
How's it going, Al?
Pretty good. They call you Al or they call you Alex?
They actually call me Alex, yep.
Good. My mother told me never let them call me Al. which is going to mean everybody's going to start calling up and say, hi, Al.
Yeah, like that song, You Can Call Me Betty.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Love that song. So, everyone already made my point. I think it is just a little ridiculous that the government is going to be allowed to control how many ounces of soda that you could buy, because, like hundreds of callers have probably already said, you're just going to buy 2 16-ounce.
No. I would argue that. I haven't argued it all day, so I'll argue it with you now for whatever it's worth. the fact of the matter is, once somebody sort of slaps your hand and says, you know, you're killing yourself with this. Now, I've got colleagues right here at the radio station. Nobody's ever going to tell them not to smoke. They won't stop smoking. It's that simple. But there are marginals. There are people in the middle who know that this is wrong, who step on the scale every once in a while and who are alarmed and say, you know what, I could stick with one as opposed to two. So I think there probably is a qualitative difference.
You got a point.
Thank you. I was sure you wouldn't agree with me, but, you know, but that's good. Okay.
No, that's a good point.
And I think as you go further south, so for example, I think my hypothesis is that as you get down to Poughkeepsie, where you live, more people drink soda than up here in the north, north of you. No, I just made that up, but go ahead.
I'm a water drinker, man. I don't drink anything but water and beer.
Do you drink water out of a plastic cup, out of a plastic bottle?
No, I drink water out of a glass at home.
That's
and
a
reusable plastic bottle.
Yeah, you see those plastics. It turns out that some of those plastics in the heat, do bad things. At least I read that somewhere. Did you read that?
Yeah, I think that's the ones that don't say BPA-free or whatever.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, okay.
But I did have another thing to say real quick.
Go ahead.
I think we need to stop comparing it to smoking, because you don't drink cigarettes and you don't smoke soda. So I just don't get why we keep comparing those two.
Well,
I understand that they're both unhealthy, but why?
Can I just say that, and respectfully, really respectfully, do you feel respected?
I feel respected.
I think that's somewhat absurd. And here's why. Because as you say yourself, they are bad for you. And if government has a role, it is to say sometime, don't do this. So so we say don't smoke. We mean it. We can't say we're going to make a black market out of it. So we make it tougher. We charge, a dollar a cigarette or something like that now?
It's ridiculous.
It's incredible in order to get people to stop. So why not stop people from doing what harms them? Right now there's a debate over fracking. The analogy would be, if you're fracking, that's my land. I can do with it whatever I want. If I want to sell it to the fracking companies and move to Florida and let somebody else drink the water, I'm going to do that. You can't tell me what to do. Right?
Semi.
Anyway, Alex, we honor you. We thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
Hey, it was great talking to you, man. It's always a pleasure.
Bye.
Bye.
And we'll go to Beth in Niskayuna. Welcome back, Beth.
Hi, thanks. Well, I'm going to argue with you about fracking, and I love arguing. So, fracking.
I've been noticing that over the years.
Fracking is an imminent or an eminent danger. The gases used in the product are in themselves deadly, so you can't compare soda. The person's not going to explode like a Monty Python movie if they drink soda.
Well, let's put it this way. I can and I will argue with you, but go ahead.
Okay. So, and I like that Mr. Bloomberg banned bottled water in government buildings. I think that was very good. But if he were, there's no carrot with this, and it's picking on poor people. There's no gym in their schools. They don't have access to the
lot. Well, there's no gym. There are gyms in lots of schools.
No, there's gym class has been eviscerated.
In some places.
In many places, including the inner city. There's no water fountains. There's no public bathrooms. The museum is like $25.
Well, let's cut to it, Beth. Are you a soda drinker or not?
I am, and I hate that I drink it. But it's soda. Okay. But, however, I make very little money.
Okay.
So, again, if he produced some kind of a carrot for people, then it would be a fair policy. Right now, it's picking on people, especially in New York City. You know how much it costs to live in New York City.
Oh, yeah.
So for someone that, if they go to a baseball game, it's already like $100 and some odd, I can't afford it. But anyway, someone's going to the baseball game, or someone just happens to be living.
Beth, Beth, you've made the point. It's a good point. And the carrot idea is a good idea. And we thank you for making the call. Thanks,
all
Beth.
Right, thank
yeah.
you.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Let's go to Diane in Saugerties. Diane, go.
Hi. I don't think anyone's arguing that sugary drinks are bad for us, as are a lot of things. Everybody I know has made some poor decisions in their life.
Right.
And we all die of something. And I don't think that getting into blaming the victim for diseases is a very productive way to go. I think it's a ridiculous law because it's unenforceable and, you know, what the judge said, that it's capricious. Or
Well, wait a second. Don't you think some people will listen to it? In other words, it's true.
No,
you
here's what I think.
No, wait. You ride down the road and somebody passes you at 90 miles an hour, okay?
Yeah.
They're doing that, and believe me, lots of people drive very fast and get away with it. Nevertheless, there are a lot of people who say, okay, it's posted at 55, I'm going 55. That's why I think these laws are good.
I certainly agree with you about the speed limit and many other things, seatbelts and many other things. But why not outlaw potato chips? You know,
now,
I mean,
there is a good idea.
You know, a lot of people think that we should all be wheat-free. We shouldn't eat gluten. You know, but that's their opinion. I mean, nobody is arguing that sugary drinks are good for us, but I don't think we want to get into blaming the victim for the disease.
I'm not sure about this blaming the victim thing. I'm fascinated by it. Why is the victim being blamed when we're trying to protect the victim?
No, the law doesn't blame the victim, but people calling in and saying, well, if you're fat and you get diabetes, I don't want to pay your medical bill.
Well,
that's
yeah.
blaming the victim.
Well, no, I hear you, but I don't think that's what the general tenor of the discussion has been.
Some people have said that.
Yeah,
anyway.
No, some people have said that,
yes,
but I don't think that's...
I don't want to say that.
Yeah, no,
I think the point I want to make is that I think that Mayor Bloomberg was brilliant for proposing this law.
Exactly.
Because it's got everybody talking about it, and I can't believe that he really thought that it would get passed and enforced, because I think he's smarter than
that. Oh, no, I think it's going to stick. I think it's going to stick. I think the judge, and I made the bad mistake of talking about the judge as a fairly large person this morning, and I got some mail saying you shouldn't have done
yeah,
that.
Yeah, there you go.
So I'm not doing that anymore.
Good.
Although I just did it if somewhat cleverly.
Yes.
You see? But Diane, you make a very good
Alan,
point.
Well, Alan, you've never been accused of being holier than thou.
No, certainly not.
Certainly
not. Not because I get up at 3 o'clock in the morning or work out for an hour or go on a sugar-free diet every
once in a while. No, I'm a loyal listener, and I would never accuse you.
No. Diane, you're wonderful. Thanks for calling.
Okay, yeah. Bye-bye.
Okay, let's go to J.D. in Springfield. Hiya, J.D. How are you?
Well, I'm well. I'm a little agitated.
Oh, boy.
Because you have added one more thing. With this bottled water or bottled whatever.
I mean,
what difference does it make if you buy a 16, 24, or 60-ounce toxic beverage? Why control the size of the toxin? It's still that. So how about the stuff that's manufactured? It's all out of waste and leftovers and excess of manufacturing things that we're all parts of. So I guess
for example.
Yes.
No, give us an example, J.D.
Example of what?
What you just said.
We're talking about those
toxic
sugar beverages with the high fructose corn syrup.
Okay, so you want to ban the production of Pepsi-Cola and Coca-Cola?
Oh, no, I never said that. What I'm saying is that why are we worrying about what size of this stuff we should buy?
That's what Bloomberg could get away with. In other words, you have to start somewhere, and I think that's where he started. Hey, J.D., always welcome here. Thank you. Let's go to Nancy in Poughkeepsie. Nancy, you're on.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
I'm good.
Okay, so what I'd like to discuss is the financial implications of the bill not being passed.
Yep.
I think in terms of nutrition, I think it's not debatable at all.
Right.
And those people who call and argue otherwise, I just can't get it. As far as personal freedom, I think it is debatable, and that's a whole other subject.
Sure.
But I think everybody being worried about the financial losses from the manufacturers to the vendors are being short-sighted, because Coca-Cola and Pepsi, who now own Dasani and Aquafina,
sure,
and have branched out into other drinks, would be forced to develop to develop some more seltzers, some more sparkling waters, some juice and sparkling water combination.
Nancy, that's a brilliant analysis. If there wasn't only 2 or 3 minutes left, I would let you go on a little longer, but you made a really great point, and I appreciate
it. Thank you.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's go to Liz in Middletown. Liz, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Hey. I wanted to address the man who said that soda doesn't cause diabetes. As a diabetes educator, I took care of a 6-year-old little girl who had type 2 diabetes, who weighed 180 pounds.
Yeah.
And when I did the nutritional analysis, they didn't have a lot of money, so they would go every day to eat dinner at McDonald's, Wendy's, Burger King, and they would have a little hamburger and a little French fries, and then they could drink as much soda as they wanted till they felt full.
Yeah.
And so this was really affected both the mother and the daughter.
So is that cause and effect or not as a diabetes educator? In other words, does sugar contribute to the onset of diabetes?
It's total consumption. If you have the genetic predisposition for type 2 diabetes,
a point he made,
if you become overweight, you're going to accelerate the onset of your diabetes.
Okay, Liz, I'm going to leave you there only because I want to get everybody in. Thank you for making that point. I appreciate your call. Okay.
Take care.
Let's go to Gregory in Kingston. Okay, Gregory, you're on.
Yeah, hi. Quickly, I just think that that a legal place to start and set a precedent, you know, for people to see that it can work is that, you know, the taxpayers, you know, people who are poor and they're on welfare, WIC, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all welfare as far as I understand it. And they're not allowed to buy with those food stamps, cigarettes and tobacco and beer and things like that. Shouldn't be able to buy soda either. And we know what they're buying because we know that they're not buying beer and all.
Okay, so that's your point, Gregory. I appreciate your call. I'm trying to get everybody in, okay? Thanks a lot. Okay, let's go to Natalia in Longmeadow. Okay, Natalia, you're on. Is it Natalie?
Hi.
Is it Natalie?
It's Natalie.
Natalie, I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I just wanted to say that, like a lot of things, I think it has to do with money on both sides.
Sure.
The soft drink companies are making a ton of money. You know, a medium Coke goes for, you know, $1.19, and a large goes for $1.39.
Sure, well, I remember when it was a nickel. That's how.
Yeah, well, me too, but, you know. That's been a while.
Yes,
and so for every unit that they can sell for 20 more cents, they're making a lot of money when you look at it across the country. And also, it's a good shopping. You know, for if you're a consumer, you're getting, you know, 10 more ounces for 20 more cents. So it makes sense for the consumer to buy a larger one, even though it's not good for you.
Good point. Okay, we're going to leave it at that, Natalie. I'm sorry.
All right, thank you for your time.
Yeah, let's go to real quickly. Can you do it in a sentence, Jesse?
Yeah, just a quick thought on the personal freedom side of it. The thing that I like about the law is that it's not stopping people from consuming whatever they want.
Right.
It's simply resetting what the normal
is. That's it, Jesse. But I have to tell you, my point is that that's where he's starting. He knows he can't go further than that. Thank you, Jess. Appreciate it. Okay. Let's see. Hey, Evan, can you do it in a sentence? Evan. Well, Evan's not there. Okay, that's the end of him. All right. We're just about out of time. Thank you, everybody, for calling. Support for the Vox Pop comes from Hudson Valley Bounty, an initiative of the Hudson Valley Agribusiness Development Corporation, promoting Hudson Valley farms, wineries, restaurants, and more. HudsonValleyBounty.com. Barry Price Architecture, since 1996, specializing in residential and institutional buildings that integrate modernism and sustainability with regional materials and aesthetics. BarryPriceArchitecture.com. The Riverbend Animal Hospital, Route 9 in Hadley, Massachusetts, providing small animal medicine and wellness care, general and referral surgery, canine rehabilitation, laser therapy, and dentistry. RiverbendAnimal.com. And Current Compliance Services, LLC, Greenwich, New York, providing legal and consulting services to life insurers in a changing regulatory climate. CurrentCompliance.com. Thanks again, everyone, for joining us on the Vox Pop. Remember, the conversation continues online at wamc.org/Vox Pop. Our engineer has been the wonderful Zach. Zach Malloy. His grandmother called. Your calls were answered by Bruce Herbach. Our producer's Patrick Donges. I'm Alan Chartok. And on tomorrow's show, it's the Copyright Forum. Stay tuned now for a news update.